Let's do a combine covenant catch-up with our former Minnesota Vikings head coach, Leslie Frazier. And we began with Leslie discussing a very significant day for him. You see, for Leslie, November 28th of 2010 was a very, very memorable day. Leslie, do you remember?
Would that be the first win?
Boom, the first win at FedEx Field. First win at FedEx Field. Ben Lieber had two tackles in that game, by the way.
Awesome.
Yeah, just light it up.
I'm not surprised. You probably had the game winning tackle, you know.
Do you now that's a non-playoff season, you know, it's the final year for Brett Favre, Brad's out, whole thing, and you eventually will become head coach. But I'll never forget how they swarmed you and hugged you and loved you on the field at FedEx Field. Do you remember that?
I do. I have the picture of Brett handing me the football after I think he ran a naked bootleg to seal the game.
Yeah.
And then he came off the field and gave me a ball. So it was that's a treasure moment for sure.
Yeah. What was it like? Okay, cover your ears, Ben. What was it like? What was Ben like as a player for you?
Ben was awesome. Like a coach on the field, which I thought one day he might go into coaching, and he's in the broadcasting dealing with you.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, you always knew whatever he would end up doing, he'd be a success at it. Very cerebral, but a really tough, hard-nosed player. One of those guys who played with a chip on the shoulder all the time. So, I mean, it was fun for me to be around him and to coach him as well.
All right, Ben, stop blushing and ask a question.
Well, you know, Coach, I was just trying to survive. I get asked that question about, you know, just your career and like how I got. I'm like, listen, I had one goal in mind every day. I got to survive this damn thing. Like, I got to make the team again tomorrow. You know, I got to make the team again the next day. That really was just my mindset. That was it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great mindset to have, but you were more than a survivor. I remember Jim Johnson, our old defensive coordinator in Philadelphia, who was a great coordinator. We wanted to be able to run what we call some under defense, and you needed a bend type to be able to do it. And he used to tell me, Leslie, you got that Ben Lieber. You can walk up on the line of scrimmage anytime you want. You can blitz him. You can drop him in coverage. Mm. I say, you're right. He's a versatile guy. So he was more than just getting by as a player.
I will tell you this much, that we obviously have never talked about this, and I don't, you know, I've never shared this with anybody, but I always felt like I was a defensive end in my mind. But I just wasn't built like one. Right. You know, like I didn't want to drop in pass coverage. Like, I didn't want to do that. Like, I just want to go forward. You know,
yeah.
I love playing the nine technique. That was my deal at Kansas State. Was we were an under defense. I love playing on the outside shade, that tight end. I love having that mano a mano. Like, we're gonna battle all game now. Mm-hmm. And I did that in the first part of my NFL career in San Diego, where you know Shannon Sharpe and I would be battling all game long. Tony Gonzalez and I and Jason Dunn would be battling all game long. Yeah. And I sort of loved that matchup every week of like, this is the guy I need to scout. This is the guy I need to look forward to. And then you guys move me back in the back, and I'm like, I don't know.
And we walk you up every now and then.
Every now and then, I'm like, what is this flat drop, the curl drop? I don't want to do this stuff. I want to get downhill. But anyway, it was a lot of fun to play with you. Now, you brought up, PA brought up that game and then the Brett Favre deal. You know, I don't think that I've played with a player like Brett Favre outside of Junior Seau. Mm. You know, those guys just don't come around very often.
Yeah.
You know, can you think of any other guys that you've played with that sort of have that it factor, that magnetism, that, like, you want to be around them all the time, and it sort of elevates everybody on the team?
Yeah, Brett definitely had that for sure. You know, he kind of, like, was that guy for us for sure. And throughout his career, everywhere he was. PA probably remembers this guy. I know Bob remembers him, but Jim McMahon was a little bit like that as well. You know, he had that it about him where just when he walked in the room, it wasn't like you didn't know he was in the room. You know, you were going to know. And he was the same way on the field. And what it did, it took so much pressure off the rest of the players because he took it all. And he gave you a sense of confidence when he walked on the field. And, you know, Brett and Jim were similar in that way.
What's life like in Buffalo? What do you like about your defense? Very, very good defense.
Well, life is good. I mean, it's cold there, much like Minnesota. We get a lot of snow, but a lot of good fans. I mean, really passionate fan base there. And, you know, our guys are working extremely hard to try to duplicate what we did last season and try to get a little bit better over this offseason. You know, a free agency is approaching now. We're here getting ready for the draft. A lot going on, but, you know, we're excited about the future.
Leslie, you've won Super Bowls as a player and a coach. How much does it still burn, and how much do you still yearn, even if you don't talk about it publicly, to win another Super Bowl?
Mm. Oh, I mean, it's definitely a desire. When we were playing Houston this year in the playoffs, and really felt like we had the game in control, and it kind of slipped away from us late. You know, you just realize when you've been doing it for a long time how tough it is to get to these positions, first of all, and how hard it can be to get back. And so when one slips away, it kind of gnaws at you a little bit, PA. And but it is a desire to get back and win another Super Bowl for sure.
Leslie Frazier, Bills defensive coordinator, 9 to noon.
You know, as you talked about Jim McMahon, and I was alluding to that sort of personality, and you guys have a chance now at the Combine to sit down with some of these guys. And how much of that do you ever see where you sit down with a player and the second he walks in, you're like, okay, I don't even care what his tape says. I don't care what Blesto says. I don't care how they have him rated. Like, that's a guy that I think can make us better. Does that happen very often?
From time to time, it will. I mean, you know, there's certain guys, they come in the room and the way they carry themselves, the way they handle themselves, you go like, wow, I can't wait to watch his tape or delve into him a little bit more and get to know him better. Because there's something about him that attracts you, whether it's the leadership capabilities and his personality, something. So it does happen. Now you just hope the tape matches up to it.
You know, there's a guy, and maybe he's not like this. I don't know this guy personally, but you guys have a player in Ed Oliver who I just absolutely loved out of Houston last year. And, you know, a little bit undersized, but quick, you know, fast, agile, showed it a level of balance sometimes turning the corner, getting around a guard or a center. You know, had a little bit of a rough year, probably didn't get as many snaps on the defense as you guys would like. What's his status and where do you see his future with you guys?
Well, we're really excited about Ed. The way he came along for us as the season went on, I mean, for us to have taken him as a top 10 pick and to see the production we got as the year went on, we are thrilled and excited, Ben. I don't know if you had a chance to watch our game against Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. It was kind of like a coming out party for him.
Yeah.
And he's from Texas. He's from Houston. So to have him to come out and get two sacks, you know, to create an interception for us on defense by batting the football, I mean, just to see him come of age and his attitude. One of the defining moments for him was when we took some snaps off of him and we began to rotate him with Jordan Phillips, who had a great year for us as well with 9.5 sacks. You know, we were kind of wondering how will Ed handle some adversity, but he handled it like a champ. And I applaud him as the year went on. The fact that he didn't sulk, he didn't come to practice with his head down, he just worked hard and tried to get better and better, and he did. So we're excited about next season.
Yeah, Leslie, the Vikings have a former Bill on their team. They got late in the season, and he didn't play, but he'll be part of it maybe next year. Eddie Yarborough, defensive end. You're much more familiar with him than we are. What kind of a player is Eddie?
Well, Eddie is one of those guys who is, his effort is similar to a Chad Greenway's. I mean, it's all out, all the time. His motor never runs empty, and that's what the fans are getting. One of those guys who plays hard every single snap and has some pass rush ability. He'll fight against the run, but you're getting a high-character guy who plays hard every single down.
Leslie, you being a man of faith and working in this game as long as you have, what are the keys to balancing your faith, treating people with respect and living the way you do, yet being stern and getting the point across so that you guys can win games?
It's a great question, PA, because sometimes people will mix a person of faith and say, well, that person's probably going to be soft, they're going to be meek, you'll be able to run over them. And you know, the Lord that I serve was anything but a milquetoast. So there are moments where you have to be able to be firm. Now, I don't necessarily think I have to curse a guy out to get him to do what I want him to do. Ben played for me. He knows exactly, you know, my style of coaching. But it's more teaching. And players, what they want is someone that can help them to get better. That's all they want. And if you can do that, they'll usually listen to you.
You know, you guys, 10-6 last year and in a really tough division. How closely are you watching this Tom Brady New England Patriots deal going on?
Yeah, it's funny you asked me that. I was on a flight to Mobile, the Senior Bowl, and sitting next to me was Nick Cicerity, GM for the New England Patriots. And we're sitting there, we're talking about free agency and all that's going on. I say, now, Nick, you know there's only one guy we're paying attention to. we could care less about all these other free agents on New England's team. Yeah. But that number 12, we're kind of like seeing what ends up happening with him. So we'll see. I mean, he's all-time great. So we wouldn't shed any tears if he ended up in another uniform at all.
You know who else is an all-time great? And I have so much respect for him. Frank Gore.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have one of the best running backs and one of the best people on your team as well. You know, what did he bring to the table? And I know maybe he is not the same guy he used to be in his prime, but
yeah.
My goodness, you look at his career and what he's done. I mean, just a phenomenal, phenomenal career.
Oh, yeah. I love Frank. I mean, he's first ballot Hall of Fame. And what he brought to our team, his leadership, all the things that he's achieved as a player. And he can still play. He still has that fight in him. He may not be able to break that long one like he once could. You had a chance to play against him. You know how tough he could be.
He's the best. He's great, man.
Yeah.
And he's so quiet.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't ask for a lot of attention. But everybody around the league, especially defensively, just know what this guy brings to the table all the time.
But he's a great guy. Loves the game. Really a student of the game. I mean, knows the history. We talk all the time. And just really enjoyed having a chance to be around him and watch him work every single day.
You know, last one, Leslie. I'm really, really glad and appreciative of your honesty about New England's number 12. Because you talk to a lot of coaches about it, man, and we've just heard and seen so many things for so many years. The majority of the people, and fairly, are going to say, we are more concerned about what we do and how we can improve, and we'll let all the chips fall where they may. But when you're talking about a guy like that and what potentially might be next, it's massive, not only for your division, but for the entire NFL. What is it like preparing a game plan for Tom Brady?
Man, I mean, he's the best in our game, without question. So there isn't a defense he hasn't seen. There isn't a pressure you can run that he hasn't seen. And so you're trying to hide things, trying to move people around. And, I mean, it's just a challenge every week that you prepare for him. And when we're putting our game plans together, we come to the conclusion that, you know what, it's going to be about us being able to do what we do and do it a little bit better instead of trying to come up with something that he hasn't seen, because he's seen it all. So have a ton of respect for him. Wish him and his family nothing but the best, whatever decision he ends up making. But he is truly the best there is.
All right, here's a hard-hitting question for you, my last one. You guys obviously have a very young, talented quarterback in Josh Allen. You know, you're going to use the free agency and the draft, obviously, to make your team better. But what's it going to take for the Buffalo Bills to meet the Minnesota Vikings in the Super Bowl?
Oh, man. Well, I will have to borrow PA's line now. I really better focus on the Buffalo Bills and what the Buffalo Bills have to get done.
After the way 2018 went at U.S. Bank Stadium, we might want to rethink that.
Yeah. But, you know, it'll really be about, you know, what happens this offseason for us and what we end up doing in free agency, what we end up doing with the draft. And hopefully we'll keep our guys that we want to be able to keep and then add some pieces here or there. As you guys know, every year is different. You know, whatever happened in 2019 is irrelevant in 2020. So it'll all be about this offseason and what we get done prior to the regular season.